lesson today is found in the book of Genesis, continuation of the history of Joseph and of the children of Israel. We left off speaking to you last week how that Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and spake to them, I am Joseph, whom ye sold into Egypt. And his brethren, they were troubled at his presence. They did not say one word. They were so surprised to hear that this person before them was their brother. And where they kept quiet and dared not speak, he called them to him, says, come near unto me. And when they had come near, he again spake to them to assure them that he was truly their brother. And he said unto them, be not grieved and angry with yourselves that ye have done this, for God did send me to save a posterity alive. It was God that caused me to come down into Egypt, and for that reason, to save a great nation, and likewise to save yous from a great deliverance. These brothers then, they were so surprised at the presence of Joseph. In this we see likewise the dealings of the Lord Jesus Christ with his people. For he likewise hides himself, conceals himself. And most of the time in these states, he also has a frown upon his face towards his people, until he has humbled them and brought him down to the dust before them, that they feel they are so guilty and so wretched and so miserable that there isn't any hope whatsoever for them. And then it pleases Jesus to manifest himself unto his people. Oh, blessed manifestation to such a person who is groaning and crying within because of his guilt, because of his sin. And these brothers, likewise, they were spoken to by Joseph that they should haste and go up unto his father and tell his father of all his glory that he had in Egypt, that he had become ruler over the land of Egypt and was a father unto Pharaoh. This Joseph knew when they brought this message to their father would be such a cordial to him that where he was old and where he had been mourning so many years for the loss of his son, when he should hear this, this would make him young again. This would enliven his spirit. This is what he wanted his brothers to do. This message he told them, and this he commanded them, and they were standing before him yet without saying one word. They were troubled at this. Oh, Joseph, he was given to speak to them concerning this God who he feared, who had brought him in this way to Egypt. Joseph had such an insight in the providence of God over his life, how that these brothers had sold him as a slave, that it was God's hand in that. This is not to say that their sin was forgiven because it was God's way, no, but Joseph saw that God had a purpose with that, that it had to be so, that God had decreed and ordained this to be so that he would be down in the land of Egypt, and that he actually would be a savior unto the people that were in the land of Egypt. And therefore, he glorified God in the counsel and in the way that God had led him. And now he commands his brethren that they should go back to their father and tell their father of all the glory that he had received. God had made him ruler in Israel, ruler in Egypt, and also had made him a father unto Pharaoh. Oh, what a marvelous providence was over this man, Joseph, and how wonderful he was given to see this, and how he glorified God in this, what God had done. And so he fell upon the neck of Benjamin and wept. And he kissed him for quite a while. And then he fell on the necks of his brothers and kissed them. All this was a token and a sign that he was reconciled with them, that he had no animosity towards them for what they had done. This was a clear proof to them that he loved them, that they were his brethren, and that he had forgiven them the sin that they had committed against him. Oh, how wonderful this is in the spiritual sense. When Jesus manifests himself to such people, such as Joseph's brothers were, and calls them to come near unto him, and when he kisses them with the kisses of his mouth, and when he makes them drunk of his love, and assures them thereby that their sins are forgiven. Oh, what a blessing to experience this in this life. And now these brethren then, they being commanded by Joseph to go up to their father, Pharaoh, who heard that Joseph's brethren had come to him, it says that he was delighted therewith. He was pleased therewith, and so were his servants. And Pharaoh did a wonderful thing for Joseph. He was a liberal king, for he came and he spake and said unto these brothers and to Joseph, now do this, he says, take with you enough to eat and to drink and the food that you need, and take with you your asses and load them with corn and with meat and with such substances that were necessary, and here take these wagons with you, and bring back your wives, your little ones, and bring back your father down into the land of Egypt. Tell them to come, for the fat of the land is theirs. So this was a very liberal thing of this king to do, to give also that Joseph's father and family all should come down to Egypt. Egypt was at this time a land that had a land of plenty. There was an abundance in Egypt due to God in sending Joseph and giving him these dreams to interpret, and Joseph being the ruler and the governor of the land had gathered everything together. There was plenty in Egypt. It was the only nation that had so much. And therefore, these relatives, the brothers and the father of Joseph, were invited to come to Egypt to dwell there. For Joseph spake unto his brethren and said, haste, make yourselves ready and go up. For 2 years the famine has been here, and there is 5 more years of famine to come. And bring my father down with you, lest you come to poverty. This is what surely would have taken place had they remained in the land of Canaan. And now these brethren then, they took the wagons and they took their asses and everything that was necessary for their journey, and they went up to Jacob in the land of Canaan. And when they came to Jacob, they said, Joseph is alive. He is ruler in the land of Egypt. He is the governor of the land. You can just about imagine what this was to Jacob. All these years, probably over 20 years, Joseph had been dead to him. And this had made him mourn and grieve for many a day. And now when he heard this was such a surprising thing to him, to have somebody tell him that Joseph was alive. The Bible says, and Joseph fainted because he believed not. He thought that his sons were fooling him, that they were deceiving him. Oh, we see in this something that happens so often in life. We have sometimes that some relative, some parent, some father, some mother, some son, some daughter, or some child is suddenly taken away. And the report of this death comes to the parents. And when this report is received, many times you read, the mother swoons and goes into a faint because she has lost one of her children. How often this takes place. This is an awful tragedy in any family. Maybe some of you have experienced this. And now this was similar to Jacob when they told him that his son was alive. It really was too much for him to believe. But he had more than this to go by, for Joseph had sent 10 asses laden with the good things out of Egypt and other asses with corn and meat and provision for him on the way. And he had sent wagons to bring Jacob down into Egypt. And now when Jacob saw the wagons, saw what Joseph had sent up to him, then it says his spirit revived. Then he believed. Oh, my hearers, this teaches us also that we may experience much, and still unbelief keeps us from the joy and the happiness that we would have in hearing the report. You hear the report of Christ, that he's a savior of sinners. It's a glad tiding, it's a joyful news. But who is it joyful to? Is it joyful to everybody? It is only joyful to them who receive this by faith. And this faith you and I have not in our hands. We have it not in our hearts. We have it not in exercise. We cannot operate it when it is so necessary that we should. This faith is a gift of God, and we are dependent upon God to give us to believe, or we're sitting in doubt and fear and in unbelief. But when he gives to believe, then all doubt and fear and unbelief are gone, and we receive the report by faith. We believe it. What a blessing this is, my hearers. God has said that he will work in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And if it is a good pleasure to give you faith and exercise, then you will find that it's his pleasure to comfort you, to encourage you, and to strengthen you. These brethren then spake unto Jacob that Joseph was alive. Reading the scripture, you don't read that these brethren said to their father, we were the cause of all your grief. We were the ones that did this to you. We were the ones that sold him. We are the guilty creatures. It would have been nice if you read that in the scriptures, because they were. They were the cause of it. But we hear nothing of that. They had already been guilty down in Egypt before Joseph. He had wrought by the operations that he had with them, that they came in guilty before him. But they were more guilty to their father in this respect. And they did not say one word to him that they were this way. And Jacob, when he saw the wagons, then his soul revived, it says. And he says, I will go down to Egypt and see my son, and then I will die. Joseph then, he made a decision that he would go down to Egypt. Egypt was a considerable distance. It was quite a journey. And Joseph is an old man. He's 130 years old. And he was no fit man to travel. But they had sent wagons up to put him in the wagon and to bring him down. And now Joseph, he was likewise one of the patriarchs, unto whom the promise of the land of Canaan had been given. And now he was going to leave the land of Canaan and go down into Egypt, an idolatrous land. But he was going down there on the invitation of his brother, on the invitation of his son Joseph, and of the king of the land. This probably caused Joseph much thoughts, and he was troubled probably. He had a desire to go down to see his son, but to leave the land, what would become of the promise that God had given unto Joseph, unto him, and unto Abraham and Isaac? We find that Jacob, anyway, he makes himself ready to take the journey. And he leaves this place where he is dwelling, which is called Hebron. All the children and everyone that had come out of the lines of Jacob, left this country. All his sons, his wives, and their children, they all left to go down to the land of Egypt. How many were there? There were 66 souls that came forth out of this Hebron to go down to Egypt. It says 70. If you consider Jacob and you consider his son Joseph, who was already there with two sons, then we have the 70. 66 souls came down with Jacob to the land of Egypt. And now when he left Hebron, he came to a place called Beersheba. And in this place he offered up sacrifices unto the God of his father and the God of his grandfather, Abraham. This place is called Beersheba. In this place, Abraham had worshipped God and had communion with God. And so Isaac had worshipped God in this place, and Jacob chose this place to come down before God and beseech him whether he should go down into Egypt or not. His desire was there, he already was on his way, but he didn't want to leave the country unless he had God's permission. He then worshiped God. He thanked God in the first place for the good news that he had had, that his son Joseph was still alive. So many years he had thought him dead, and God had never given him any token that he was alive until his sons come back and said he is alive. Then he could believe after he seed everything that was sent for him. How thankful he must have been to God that this son who he loved, who was his darling, was still alive. And in worshiping him, we find he offered up sacrifices unto God. And God appeared unto him. Oh, what a wonder. What a wonder, my dear heroes. When we are called sometimes in providence to leave the place of our abode, to go to a different state to live, or to a different country in the line of work that we are in, then so necessary to do as Jacob did. Acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he will direct thy path. How few do this? How few have any thought of this God in whom we live, in whom we move and have our being? What a blessing to acknowledge him. Now, it's not always that he immediately answers us, but when we read the word, when our conscience speaks, and we may follow the dictates thereof, and see that providence is opening its way for us, we may see in that it is God's way. But it's so good when God meets with us and gives us the assurance that we should go down where we are planning to go. To Jacob, he's in prayer, he's in supplication, and God appears unto him in the night visions. And God says, Jacob, Jacob. Why did he say that? Didn't he change his name to Israel? Thou shalt no more be called Jacob, but thy name shall be Israel. And still God calls him by his name, Jacob, Jacob. He's brought back in his mind to Bethel, where God met with him. He's brought back to where he was born in sin and in iniquity. And now, this Jacob, he is called again by God. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, to have God call us, and that by our name. A blessing if he calls us out of sin, out of this world. A blessing if he brings us to himself. Jacob, Jacob. And Jacob answers and said, here I am. That's all you read of Jacob. He doesn't say anything more. He lets God speak. And we hear, I am God. Oh, my hearers, there's a volume in that short sentence. I am God. The majesty, the glory, the sovereignty of this great and divine being expressing himself unto Jacob, a worm of the dust. I am God. Oh, how it must have humbled him and brought him down in humility before God, with whom now he was dealing. I am God. I am the God of thy father. Oh, another wonderful saying. As I meditated upon that, I thought, oh, what a blessing for Jacob. Many of us have had parents. They've been born and brought up and lived all their life and went to the church. And some of them, we have good hopes that they have probably gone to heaven. Sometimes we have many doubts, many fears concerning them, especially when things come up that we remember that happened in their life and how they acted when they did this. And then we begin to think, I can't believe that really they've gone to heaven. But Jacob, he was given to hear God say, I am the God of thy father. There was no doubt about it for Jacob. His father Isaac was a child of God. He was in heaven. God said it to him. Oh, to have a witness. If we are children, we love our parents, and we like to think well of them. But when it comes to salvation, when it comes to entering into glory, then there is something that must take place in our parents' life as well as in our life. And when we have not heard of this wonderful new birth and have not heard from the lips of our parents things that they have met with in life, that God has dealt with them, that they have been comforted, they have been spoken to, these things we have in our memory. If you had a mother, you had a father, and they had experienced something like this from God, they could not keep quiet at that time. And you as a child, you listened to it. Probably you didn't understand it, but, oh, they're gone now. And then you look and you think back and say, oh, mother had this, father had that. I can truly believe that's where they went. But where am I going to go? I am their child. That doesn't save me. It's a very comforting thought for a child to think that their parent went to heaven. And there's a miserable thought if you have to think that they went to the other place. And today, my dear hearers, so many people, they are being deluded. They are being spoken to as if they're all Christians. They're all going to heaven when they die. They don't make any exceptions whatsoever. And all, when they live their life here below and never have received a new birth, never had a witness from God that they were loved by him. How can we have such a false hope to think that they went to heaven? It's not grounded on the word of God. And so many in these days in which we live that die, they're preached into heaven by what kind of preachers are they? Sad to say, they are blind themselves. And they lead the blind into the ditch, and then they preach him yet into heaven. Oh, what a blessing. If we, by the grace of God, are brought on our knees, and we begin to seek God ourselves, then find that this God is a judge. He's a righteous God. He must be satisfied, and we cannot satisfy him. We haven't anything to satisfy him with. And he, in his infinite mercy, reveals by his word that he is satisfied in his dear Son, that in him there is forgiveness for the greatest of sinners. Experiencing this in this life, and not hearing this from our parents, never hearing them speak about some things that God has done to them, how can we have any comfortable hope? All my hearers, some of you have had godly parents, and I know they have gone to heaven. I believe it myself. But there are so many, oh, they die and they have a verse or something and they have a little text, and all their life long they live in sin, and when they say a little text and a little verse, then they go to heaven. No, it's not that way, my hearers. Christ says we must be born again, and we must see fruit on a tree in this life. Now, how can we have any hope for those that pass away, even though they be our own parents? Jacob was given a solemn word from heaven, I am the God of thy father, no doubt about it. And then we find that God said unto him that he was the father, likewise, of Abraham. This was Isaac's father. But he did not say to Jacob, I am thy God. He said, I am God, and the God of thy father. And he said unto him, fear not to go down into Egypt. Jacob must have had many fears to go down in Egypt in the first place. The fear that what would become of the promises that God had given concerning his seed, for they were to be multiplied and they would become a great nation according to the promise that he gave to Abraham. He took him outside of the tent door and showed him the stars in the sky, and he says, so shall thy seed be, and the land upon where thou livest I will give it unto them. And now here he is, he's going away from that land, he's going down into Egypt. And I think he had a lot of fears about his sons, that they would get down into Egypt and they probably would forget God and they would become idolaters and they would follow the customs of the land. Jacob, he had a lot of fears going down into the land of Egypt. Fears, he was 130 years old. He feared probably when he went down there he would die there. And this is what he didn't want. He wanted to die in the land of Canaan, and he wanted to be buried in that land. And he had fears concerning what would become of his family when they were down there. Would they come to naught? Would it be all nothing? And now God met him and said, fear not to go down into Egypt. Oh, my dear hearers, have you ever had any fears? Have you been the subject of fear many times? Fear that God has not begun a good work of grace in your soul? Fear that sin, that the devil, that your own evil heart will get the best of you, and that you will show in your life that all what you said about the profession you made was nothing else but a lie? Have you ever feared that you would be carried away with the stream of time, and that you would end up probably in an insane asylum, lost all your reason, and it would be proven fact that nothing was true that you had spoken about? Oh, my dear hearers, if God makes you honest and these fears attack you, oh, it'll bring you on your knees. Oh, God, if it's not your work, oh, begin that good work. And if it is your work, do make it clear to me and give me a witness of it. And it pleases God many times when souls are in such a state that he speaks. And he says, fear not. Oh, if you ever had one of these fear nots, I could tell you what happened. all your fears dissolved. You were given faith to believe that God was your leader, that God was guiding you. Fear not, he says to Jacob, to go down into Egypt. Then he added to it, for I will go down with you. Oh, what more could Jacob want? To have God with you. Oh, if it is God's will, and it's God's way, and we are obedient to this God, we will find it. He will be with us. It will be to our profit, to our welfare. It will be to his glory, if we may obey him in the way that he commands us to go. And so we find that Jacob, he was in this respect comforted by God and assured by God that this was the right way. And he said unto him, I will make of thee a great nation. Another promise of an addition to posterity that would spring forth out of his sons and his daughters that went down with him. God would make of him a great nation, and he would bring him up again. And he likewise would put his hands upon the eyes of Joseph. Now, these promises were all spoken unto Jacob when he was making sacrifice and worshiping God in Bathsheba. I don't think Jacob ever forgot this, the meeting that he had with God there. But this promise, probably you say, how could it be fulfilled? He says, I will bring you up again. Now, this was fulfilled, for Jacob died in the land of Egypt. But before he died, he gave command unto his sons that they should carry him up to the land of Canaan, and that they should bury him in Machpelah. That was where Abraham had buried his wife, and likewise where Abraham was buried, and where he had buried his beloved Rachel. There he wanted to be buried. And when this was fulfilled, the promise was fulfilled. He would bring him up, and this was his wish and his desire. So he came then down into the land of Egypt. And when he came down into the land of Egypt, he sent forth Judah to notify Joseph that he was coming. And so we find Judah came and let Joseph know that Jacob, his father, had come down into Egypt. And Joseph made himself ready to meet his father. He hadn't seen his father from the day that he had been sold into Egypt by his own brethren. A long period of time had went in between this. Surely, how anxious Joseph must have been, for he loved his father, and his father loved him, to see him. And Joseph made ready and went up to meet his father. Joseph had set a beautiful piece of country aside for his father and for his brethren to dwell in. Pharaoh had agreed that they could dwell in this place called Goshen Ramesses, the most fertilest part of the land of Egypt, a beautiful country which was very good for Joseph's cattle and herd that he had with him. And there Jacob came into this country, and Joseph went out to meet him. And when Joseph came to his father, he fell on his neck and wept a long time. My dear hearers, it was not a weeping of sorrow, but it was a weeping of happiness. How often this takes place. We may think sometimes we see a person weeping that the person is crying because something dreadful has happened. But oh, when we have so much joy and so much happiness, the same thing comes as if you were given to hear some sad report. This emotions of every one of us are deeply touched. And so Jacob met his son Joseph. He had never thought to see him, never. And now he's seen him, and he also was given to see Joseph's two sons. He had two children, Joseph. Oh, what a blessed meeting this was between these two. They then dwelt in the land of Egypt. They were placed in this Goshen, and there Jacob and his family were given to live. Joseph had promised them that for 5 years there still would be a famine, and he would support them, and he would give them what was necessary. What a blessing, my hearers. This teaches us likewise that if we have parents and the occasion occurs that they come into needy circumstances, then we as children are to do our utmost for our parents. This is the command of God. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may go well with thee. And this is what Joseph did for Jacob and his family. He took care of them during those 5 years of famine. For had they stayed in the land of Canaan, they surely would have become poor, and probably some of them would have passed away from hunger. Jacob's family dwelt then in Egypt, and we find in the Bible that their family multiplied greatly, very much so. God had promised that he would make of Jacob a great nation. And when we come to the lesson that's supposed to be taught today, we find that they became so numerous, more than even the Egyptians. This was the blessing and the fulfilling of the promise that God gave unto them. They had it good in Egypt. They liked it there. They went up to bury their father. They went to bury Joseph when they came up out of Egypt, but they came back to Egypt. They did not stay in the land of Canaan. They dwelt in Egypt. And in dwelling in Egypt, they ate of the fat of the land. But this was not the design of God, that they should remain in the land of Egypt. It was the providence of God over this family and over these people that God would bring them up into the land of Canaan, and that they would receive this land according to the promise that he had made unto Abraham. But what happened to this family, and how they increased, and what they suffered in the land of Egypt, we hope to continue with next week, the Lord willing. That's all for today.